Our passage this evening in the scriptures is perhaps not the easiest one to consider, because it confronts us with a very difficult topic: hatred. These verses describe the hatred that some have towards the gospel and towards the church. And also, as you might be aware, these verses have also sometimes been used to accuse Christians of being hateful. Last Wednesday evening, we looked together at verse 13 and the really great encouragement it gives us about the power of God's word. And Paul is commending the Thessalonians for the way they received God's word. They warmly welcomed it. And he gives thanks for the power of God's word working in them. But then in the next few verses, Paul draws a strong but a really awful contrast. Because he just says, you know, to the contrary, how so many of the Jewish people of the time rejected and resisted God's word. Even to the point they were sinfully trying to stop Paul from preaching to Gentiles, trying to stop the word of God going to others. So if you look at verse 15, he says that the Jews' resistance to God's word was so strong that they had such animosity, they killed the Lord Jesus, who of course is the greatest and last prophet of all. They killed the prophets of the Old Testament, and now they're persecuting Paul and the apostles. Even verse 16, forbidding, or really means trying to prevent, the church from sharing the gospel with Gentiles. So, such was the animosity, and I think you can say hatred, that some had against the church, as Paul's testifying to the Thessalonians here. If you want a striking example of that, think in Acts chapter 21 and 22, when Paul is visiting the temple in Jerusalem, and just because of his reputation, a mob is incensed and wants to tear him limb from limb. And only when the Roman soldiers intervene is he able to be rescued. And then as he starts to preach to them, when he comes to the point of saying, and the gospel should go to the Gentiles, that's what the Lord is sending me out to do. Again, the crowd was so incensed, so full of hatred, they became uncontrollable and the Romans had to take him away. So sadly, this verse is about that kind of hatred. But before thinking about that kind of opposition to Christ, there is a difficulty to answer first. If you know anything about these verses, a lot of people accuse us as Christians of being full of hate. If you go online or if you listen to the prominent atheists today, we are accused of being bigoted, prejudiced, horrible people. Haters is what we are called. Judgmental, intolerant. And historically, some scholars point to these verses in Thessalonians and they say, look, here's an example of how bigoted and hateful Christians are, because these are anti-Semitic verses. This is full of prejudice and hatred towards Jewish people. And people point to words like this or certain passages in John and Matthew's gospel you could think of. And they say, look, from the start, Christianity's always been about hatred. Now, I know that probably sounds very difficult for us to comprehend and take in, because we know that's not true, but that's honestly an argument that's made. And it carries on today, particularly when it comes to those who are sexually immoral and LGBT of all different kinds. We're accused of being full of hate because we don't affirm those kinds of actions and lifestyles. Well, sadly, we have to be honest, these words in Thessalonians have been misused and abused by some Christians in the past. And again, without getting into specific examples, there's more than a few Christians in ancient and medieval times who would turn to verses like this, lift them out of context, and said some pretty vile things about Jewish people and hateful things. And at times, Jewish people were persecuted. And maybe because of things like that in the past, that's one of the main reasons people today, that they can look at examples of that and say, look, see what these Christians are like if they get in control. And of course, no actions like that are truly Christian and are not according to Christ's teaching or his spirit. So do these verses teach us to be hateful towards Jewish people? Of course not. Paul himself, who's writing this, is Jewish. And you only have to turn to Romans chapter 9 to see the love and concern that Paul has for his kinsmen according to the flesh. He says he would lose his own salvation if it would bring them to know Christ. And he says that from a sincere love for all these people. And again, almost all the first generation of Christians were Jewish. And the New Testament teaches us there's only one people of God. Old and New Covenant peoples are united in Christ. We're to honour Jewish saints who've come before us. And as Romans 11 puts it, we have been engrafted onto their vine. They were there first. And the most important commandments, of course, are to love God and love your neighbour. And Christian, you're to love your enemy. So there's no license for any animosity or hatred towards anybody in the Christian life. And I think actually the real history is true Christians have kept to that. And you can also say Paul is not speaking about all Jews as a race here. He means very specifically the Jewish leaders who were persecuting the church. And those who were following him around the Mediterranean and stirring up violence against the church. But he's not describing Jewish people in all those ways. So this accusation about these verses or about us as Christians, it is absolutely false. But don't be surprised, brothers and sisters, is if in the years to come, this is how we'll be attacked. This is where the attacks will come from, an increasingly hostile society around us. And I know, I hope it doesn't sound like I'm saying this all the time, but I really think this is a time of preparation for us. I think things, unless the Lord works wonderfully, which he always can do, but I think we need to be seriously aware of the nature of the times and that persecution can be coming. And this is the kind of way it'll come, by saying that we're haters because we don't go along with the 21st century values of society around us. And we won't condone their sin. And we don't agree with it. Which really brings us to really the main point, and the main point that Paul's talking about here. The hatred that's actually directed against us and against the gospel. And the most important thing is that we have to respond in the right way. Because what is Paul doing here? He's commending the Thessalonians for how they've responded to this persecution. Now, if they were being persecuted by Greeks the same way that Jewish Christians were persecuted in Judea, that means some of them were being beaten, threatened, their property taken, their money taken, some being arrested, publicly humiliated, socially ostracized, made poor. That's the kind of really intense pressure being put on them. And Paul's praising them for how they've responded. So we must assume he means they've responded as Christians should, according to Christ's word. They were turning the other cheek. They were not retaliating. They were not seeking revenge. Which again is part of this great change that's taken place in them. Because the whole pagan way of life was you took revenge on your enemies. For them not to do that. For them to submit to the persecution. To endure it and to be faithful. To keep the truth, to keep on worshipping, keep on preaching, to trust God. And they must have been responding to the cursing with blessing, hate, with love. So they must have been doing these things in a wonderful way. Think of the words of 1 Peter 3. We looked at 1 Peter not that long ago, where we're told to not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling. But on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. Even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats or be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. So that's how we're to respond when the world gets increasingly hostile. That's how the Thessalonians were responding. And they might label us haters, but we've got to respond with love and meekness, forbearance, endurance, and keeping the faith. And if they say you're a hater because there's certain sins they love that you say are wrong, we have to be faithful and stick to the truth. Again, we all know where the battle lines are drawn today, and it's going to come at us in certain employments. It might increasingly come at us legally. But in love, we may have to take some suffering on the chin and go through it. But loving each person and doing good to them as much as we can, we must overcome evil with good. But it does for me raise the question, when you look at this verse and the animosity that the Jewish people had, why is there such hatred against Christianity, real Christianity? You know, if it's the fake, easygoing Christianity that compromises with the world loves that. But really faithful Christianity, why does the world hate it? Well, think of the words of the Lord in John 15. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. The world doesn't really hate you, Christian. It hates the Lord Jesus, and it hates Christ in you. It hates his testimony that the world is lost, that it is sinful. It hates his glory, that he's the Savior. He's the answer. He's the Lord of all. And we're not God, and we're not the answer to our problems. It hates that your light exposes its sin. The world doesn't want to be told about its sin. Remember John 7:7. The Lord says, "The world hates me because I testify of it that its works are evil." I recently read something by a pastor named Tim Challies, who I believe is in Canada and a good, faithful man. And I think it's a little picture of it. He said that there was a beautiful, bright, sunny day, and his children were playing outside in the yard. Just really wholesome, happy scene, playing nicely. But their neighbor had got terribly drunk the night before and waking up with a hangover, feeling foul. He got up and started shouting abusively at the children because of their noise bothering him. And I just thought, what a picture of how people who indulge in darkness hate those who live in the light. Because it's implicitly a rebuke and it calls out what's truly wrong. And I think, brothers and sisters, we must remember the words of Ephesians 6. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and the powers in the heavenly places. The real enemy is the devil and demons. It's not other people who've been taken captive to do his will. And this real animus that comes, it comes from the devil. He's the one who, if you like, drives people to them. And we must always try to look past the person to the real enemy. And also, when we look at these verses, we should remember that there's another kind of hate spoken of in these verses. God's righteous wrath. Not an emotional, prejudiced, angry kind of anger or hate, but God's righteous, holy, just wrath against sin. We've just sung in Psalm 11, verse 5, some strong words. The wicked and the one who loves violence, his soul hates. God hates sin because it really is evil. It's not with a hatred like ours, which is flawed, but with a just and a righteous indignation. Holy Lord God hates what is evil. And that's the kind of wrath that Paul's describing here, that is coming upon the persecutors. Paul says, look, it's like they're storing it up for themselves. They're filling up to the brim God's righteous anger that's going to be poured out on them. It's kind of the image here, that they're filling up the measure of their sins. That as they continue and will not repent and continue getting worse, that they're filling up till it's going to overflow and go past God's patience, and his wrath will come. And then he says, in the past tense, And I think here it's kind of a prophetic past tense. He says it's come upon them completely or fully. Now, I say prophetic past tense because often you find in the scriptures when the prophets are announcing God's judgment, they speak of it in the past tense as if it's already come because it's that certain. And I think that's what Paul's doing here as well. He's speaking about the judgment that will come from God, and it is so certain if they will not repent. So brothers and sisters, not necessarily an easy passage to consider. When you consider the animosity that can come because we reject sin. But the key point for us is surely to follow that good example of the Thessalonians. To try to respond the way that our Lord Jesus responded to his persecution. That he was meek, gentle, like a lamb, did not revile in turn, but laid down his life for his enemies in love. So may God give us the grace to do so when we face real opposition. Let me pray for us. O righteous Father, only you know the times and seasons. But Lord, it does seem to us that we live in a country where there is increasing intolerance and animosity towards the Christian faith. Father, we see people even praying silently being arrested. We see, Lord, increasing pressure from government and from the powerful to accept and to adopt sinful and ungodly ways. And we pray, Lord, please, for the grace to be faithful, that you would keep each of us and keep our church faithful to Christ and the truth. And we pray, Lord, for boldness to preach the truth. And we pray too, Lord, that you would give us great grace to respond to hatred and accusations with love, with the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray, Lord, that you would teach us and show us how to do that, how to patiently endure, and show us, Lord, how to love our enemies, how to do them good. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us to spread your glorious gospel, which is the only true hope. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.